Matthew 7. I'm going to begin reading with verse 13, and we're going to go through, I think, down through 27 today, if time allows and I don't get worn out or wear you out too bad. But starting at verse 13 and reading through 27 as we progress through the day, again, doing some expository teaching for just a little while. Verses 13 and 14, I'll read those together. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, we've heard that passage for years. I mean, it's something that we've heard quoted, but it just seems like, as Brother Head was saying a few minutes ago, as time gets shorter, those things that we've read over and over seem to become more real. They seem to become, I don't know, it's not more important than it's ever been, but it seems like it's more clear as we get closer than it's ever been. Broad and wide is the way that leads to, the Bible says, destruction. And I think that's where we see this world at, whether it be the political world or whether it be the world of religion. You know, I just see it's a broad and it's a wide thing right now. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, according to verse 14. The word narrow that's used there actually means to compress or to press, almost like doing grapes or something, like you're pressing. The word straight there, oddly enough, in the Greek, if you look at it, kind of means narrow, what we interpret the word narrow as meaning. And the word narrow there means kind of like to be compressed or packed down. Every other translation in the Bible of the word that's used there as the word narrow was actually translated as affliction, or to be pressed in like the throng, or trouble, or tribulation. Every other translation in the New Testament for that particular Greek word, where Jesus was saying that straight and narrow, the word narrow is actually translated as trouble, tribulation. We can bring into that from turmoil. What were we just talking about? What were we just talking about? It's like the closer we get to Jesus, the more turmoil we face. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we're fighting to get to Him. It seems like the more storms that we go through, the things that we struggle with in life. And He said straight and narrow. Straight meaning narrow. Narrow meaning trouble, tribulation, being pressed down. Can I get a witness? Is that what's going on in life? I mean, that's what's happening. Yeah, that's what's happening. And the world is in this broad and wide place that leads to destruction, according to verse 13. Verse 14 says you need to come in the straight and narrow. Well, it really is that the straight and narrow way is not, and I've talked about this before, but it's not an inclusive thing. It's a very exclusive thing, actually. It's not inclusive at all, because when Jesus was talking, when the disciples were preaching to the New Testament church, it wasn't that they were trying to include every walk of life. To include every walk of life. We have stretched the whosoever will in our society, not necessarily in our group, but in our society, we've stretched the whosoever will into howsoever you want. And there's a huge difference. We've stretched the whosoever will into however you want to get there. And that's not Bible. It's not even close to being biblical. Because broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction, according to the Scripture, what we're talking about. Straight and narrow, compressed down, compacted, is the way that leads to life. And what we wanted to do in our society is take that whosoever will and translate that into however you want to live. And that's just not even close to what Jesus was trying to bring. Jesus brought division. His word brought division. Truth brings division. It was not even close to what the apostles were saying. They were all open to saying whosoever will. That's not the problem. It's not about the whosoever will. Whoever wants it can get it. We're going to go over some scriptures. It's not about being white or being black or being Hispanic or being Asian or where you're from. That doesn't matter. Whosoever will is very legitimate. But it's the howsoever you want is what society has done today, that has push everybody into this broad and wide area of saying however you want to serve God, whatever you want to call God, I'll go there. Whether you want to call Him this or that, it doesn't matter. However you believe you can live, it's okay, and you can still be right with God. But that's a lie. It's a lie. And people are buying into it. People are living ungodly lifestyles, being justified by false prophets, buying into lies and thinking that one day everything's going to be okay and they're going to spend eternity with God. It's a lie. It's a lie. It is whosoever will. We're going to look at some scriptures on that. But it's not howsoever you want. It just does not work that way. Now, Mark chapter 8, if you'll turn there with Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark 8, 34 through 38 deals with this whosoever will, and I think it's a very good representation of the reality. Of the reality. God help us, reality is going to be very real one day. When He calls time and we are actually standing before Him, there's going to be a reality that's not going to matter whether you believe it or not. It's not going to matter in that day whose philosophy you went with or how you justified your life. It's going to be very real. So I believe Mark 8, 34 through 38 deals with that reality of the whosoever will pretty well. Reading that together, and when He called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me. I love it. I don't have a problem with that, folks. It is whosoever. I ain't got to be rich. Ain't got to be skinny, ain't got to be young, ain't got to be old, ain't got to be smart. Amen? Whosoever will. I believe it. Because dumb, ugly, poor people can follow God. They can. You ain't got to qualify in what some of the things that we want people to qualify in this world. That's not what it's about. Whosoever will come after Me, let him, here's where we run into the problem, deny himself. This is where we run into trouble in our society. Deny himself. Take up his cross and what? Follow Me. So it's not a problem, whosoever will, white, black, young, old, rich, poor, whoever you are right now, if you want to, you can come after Me, but you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny the things that you're trying to do in life. You're going to have to deny going to the places that you want to go in life, because if you're going to come after Me, if you're going to take up your cross and follow Me, then you're going to have to walk a path that's different than the path that you plan to walk. And our society doesn't want to address that. Our religious world today doesn't want to address that. They want to say, whosoever will, howsoever you want, do your own thing. You go your way, I'll go mine. We'll all get to heaven at the very same time. But it's not real. It's not truth. It's not the message that Jesus was bringing. It's not the message that the apostles brought to the early church. Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now that's the reality of the whosoever will. Whosoever will can come after Me. Whosoever will can follow Me. Whosoever will can come be in My inner circle. Whosoever will can come and have communion with Me. We can have a relationship, but you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself, because there's going to be things that you want to do in your life, my friend, that are ungodly, that are unrighteous, that are sinful, that are not right, that will take you out of good standing with God. You're going to have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Me. You're going to have to leave where you were. You're going to have to leave your comfort zone. You're going to have to leave where you've been hanging out and where you've been living, because I'm not just going to hang out with you where you're at. Now, whosoever will can come follow Me, but I'm on the move. And I'm going to be expecting you to move with Me. I'm not going to be expecting you to stay where I found you. I'm going to be expecting you to change the way you need to change in order to align with Me and follow Me, is what Jesus was saying. So yes, it is whosoever will. It truly is whosoever will. Young, old, rich, poor, black, white, none of that matters when you start your relationship with God. Just as you are. Beautiful song. Nothing wrong with that song. It's a beautiful song. You can come just as you are, but that don't mean God wants you to stay just like you are. Come just like you are when you start your relationship with God. Whosoever will can start a relationship with God. But if you're going to continue a relationship with God, you've got to be willing to deny yourself. You've got to be willing to change your current positions. Physically, philosophically, religiously, emotionally. You may have to change your positions. It may be that you think things that are wrong. It might be that God has to deal with you on some things and you have to change the way you think about some things. Now, that's not the first time we've heard that. We heard the Apostle Peter stand up and preach repentance on the day of Pentecost. Anybody remember what the Greek word for repentance is? Metanoia, which means a change of mind. A change of mind of the highest order. You might have to change your position. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So you can't stay where you've been staying. You might not be able to continue living the life that you've been living. You might have to lay some things down. And he says, if you're going to save your life, you're going to lose. That's what he said. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You're going to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel is the same shall save it. So he said, if whosoever will, anybody that wants it, I don't care about your financial statements, I don't care about your past, I don't care what you've been doing or who you've been doing. Everybody with me? But if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross, you're going to have to deny yourself, change your position. If you want to save your life, he said, you're going to lose it. If you want to stick to your position, you're going to lose your life. If you want to hang on to your perspectives, you're going to lose your life. If you want to defend the position that you've entrenched yourself in for so long, you might lose your life. But he said, if you're willing to lose your life now, for my sake, for the gospel's sake, you'll save it. Amen. Whosoever wills, fine. There's nothing wrong with that doctrine. It's true, solid doctrine. It's Bible. It's Jesus. And it aligns with New Testament teachings. But this whatsoever you want to do, or howsoever you want to do it, that ain't right at all. It ain't even close to right. Fact is, there's a broad and wide way that leads to destruction. There's a straight, which means narrow, and a narrow, which means compressed and turmoil and tribulation, that leads to life. That leads to life. So it truly is whosoever will, but you better be willing to change your position. You better be willing to deny yourself. You better be willing to lose your life. And what else did he say? Let's finish that passage up. Where are we at? I've got that text here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed. We're reading verse 38. Whosoever therefore, I'm sorry, verse 37, we didn't read. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. Man, isn't that powerful in the day we live? You say, well, preacher, I don't align with that. I don't like how harsh you're saying. I don't believe that divisiveness you're preaching. I think it's more inclusive than that. Well, it's not me you've got a problem with. It's Bible you've got a problem with. Well, I'm ashamed to hear you preach out against homosexuality. Well, it ain't me you got a problem with. It's Bible you got a problem with. Well, it makes me cringe when I hear you talking about drunkenness and not being intoxicated. Well, it ain't me you got a problem with. It's Word that you're ashamed of. It's not me. I'm not making up doctrine. The Bible has doctrine that we need to align to. And Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of me and my words. And don't separate yourself from being ashamed of Jesus and being ashamed of his word. We need to love his word. And you can't sit there and tell me, oh, I love Jesus, while you're ashamed of his word. We've got to line up to his word. It's his word that we need to line up to. That's what's going to judge us in the last day according to Scripture. And society don't like that. Society don't like that because society's bought into these broad and wide lies that it's not just whosoever will, but it's howsoever you want, and you ain't got to change a thing because God loves you. And God does love you. But I'm guaranteeing you God loved the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll guarantee you God loved the people that were beaten on the side of the ark when 8 souls were saved. Mark 3 and 35 says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Whosoever will do it, the will. Whosoever will do the will. He said, broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. We read over there in Mark how if you're going to follow me, you've got to lay down your life. If you're going to follow me, you've got to not be ashamed of my word. If you're going to follow me, you've got to change your position and take up your cross, deny yourself, all of these things. And in Mark 3 and 35, it said, whosoever shall do the will of God. Whosoever shall do the will of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't already know it, it's not the will of God for you to be in a same-sex relationship. It's not the will of God for you to live a life of intoxication. It's not the will of God for you to be involved in adultery or fornication or any of those things that the Bible teaches us against that are not right. It's not the will of God for us to be a part of idolatry in the world that we live in. And somebody needs to say it. Because this world sure ain't saying it. False prophets ain't going to say it because they want you in the broad and the wide way. You say, well, Pastor, it makes me uncomfortable when you say stuff like that. Well, it's not me you're uncomfortable with. It's Bible you're uncomfortable with if you're uncomfortable with that. And the fact is, when you get uncomfortable with something, you might need to change your position. You might need to change your position. Say, well, I'm uncomfortable here. Well, it might be you're standing in the wrong spot and God's trying to deal with somebody's heart. It might be that God's trying to get you to see something more clearly. But this world, this whole world, is just getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. The corruption is getting worse and worse. And Jesus, back in Mark, we're reading about just a minute ago, said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. He was looking at the generation where he was at and saying, this adulterous and sinful generation. They didn't have Las Vegas there. Sin City, where we celebrate it. This adulterous. He said, right now, this sinful and adulterous generation. And I'm going to tell you what, we have really expounded on that in the last couple of thousand years. Screwed up world. Now, that's not the will of God. It's not the will of God that you... that men marry men and women marry women. It's not the will of God that you be drunken. It's not the will of God that you be intoxicated on drugs. It's not the will of God. A lot of the things that have been adopted and adapted into and people are wanting to stand up and proclaim today that it's okay because they've tied on to the whosoever will to the whatsoever I want to do, howsoever I want to live. And it all goes towards the last days that we're in. It really does. People are going to cleave to themselves, teachers having itching ears. People are going to cleave to themselves, teachers having itching ears, going to find somebody to tell them what they want to hear. But the straight and narrow is very different than the broad and wide. Verse 15, back in Matthew 7. That next passage, after he's talking about the straight and narrow and the broad and wide, is beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So right after this very powerful, memorable passage about the straight and narrow, Jesus warns us about false prophets. False prophets will not try to get people on the straight and narrow path. They may try to get them on some straight and narrow path that is not leading to life, but more so, false prophets will try to get people into a broad and wide way that leads to destructions. Sister Sandy and I started watching some old game shows the last couple of weeks, and the other day we were watching The Pyramid. It's actually a new rendition of the $25,000 pyramid. And in the last part of the game, people are just saying things and trying to get somebody to call off a particular topic. I'm thinking myself this morning, I said, you know, God loves you. He wouldn't send you to hell. And I'm thinking, things a false prophet would say. They're on there like saying, caboose, the engine, the parts of a train. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is kind of like things a false prophet would say. God loves you. Well, God does love you. God wouldn't let you go to hell. Things a false prophet would say. Ding, ding, ding. Right. That's exactly right. Not that you're going to see that out of Hollywood. God don't care how you live. God, things a false prophet would say. Absolutely right. You win. things a false prophet would say. They want you in the broad and wide. They don't want you on the straight and narrow. They want you in the broad and wide, but it's the broad and wide that leads to destruction. And we've got to get away from buying into it that masses make right and numbers make right, because it don't. 8 souls were saved in the days of Noah, and God flooded and destroyed the others. 8 souls. And God's not a respecter of numbers. God's not going to change everything so that he can get 9 now, after he destroyed everybody and let 8 souls live. Verses 16 to 20 says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Careful here, it's not the fruit of the Spirit that's going to allow you to know them. Because I can't really know if you've got love or peace or joy in your life. I can't look at that. I believe it's by the fruit of their mouth. I believe it's the words that they'll speak that will identify them as a false prophet or not. It's not the crowd. It's not something they built in their life, because we've got corruption all over the place that have built mighty, mighty things and have drawn really big crowds. And if I understand correctly, that the Antichrist is going to have a lot of people following after him. This old world, when the Antichrist rises to power, and the false prophet's going to have a lot of people that are distracted and follow it after him when he rises to power. So we can't go by the crowd. We can't say, well, it's a big crowd. All those people can't be wrong. Yes, all those people can be wrong. The masses are often wrong. The crowds are often wrong. It often turns into a riot, or turns into rebellion, or turns into something that's not godly. And see, beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky, and his tail drew a third of the stars with. Those angels were wrong that followed Satan. They shouldn't have followed him out of heaven. It is possible to follow after a false. So you can't look at it and say, well, I really think this person has love in their life, so they're not a false prophet or joy or peace. That's not fruit from them. That's fruit of the Spirit if somebody happens to have love. And you can't necessarily look in my heart and tell if I love or if I've just got something else going on. But you can listen to my words. You can listen to the words that I say, and you can run the words that I say through the Word of God and find out if what I'm saying is true or not. You can find out if what I'm saying is true or not. You can figure out if what I'm saying is trying to build my own kingdom, feed my own belly, or if whether what I'm saying lines up with the Word of God or not. You're going to know them by their fruits. I can look out on the hill outside this building. I see these little white flowers all over these briars, and I know I've seen them grow enough that we're going to have blackberries coming in pretty soon over there. I recognize fruit when it's growing. I can see that fruit. I can take somebody's words. I can run it through the Word of God and say, hey, what they're saying is not right. What they're saying is wrong. What they're doing is trying to tell people that the whosoever will to start a relationship with a God is howsoever you want to continue your relationship with God. And that part just ain't Bible. And it don't matter if they got masses. It don't matter if they've got money. Because it don't take masses, and it don't take money, and it don't take good looks and youth, praise God, to be right with God. And it don't take riches to be right with God. And it is whosoever will. It's just not howsoever you want. That's not good enough for some people. It's not good enough for somebody. They've got to change what Christianity is. But I'm done with this world telling me what Christianity is. And I'm done with this world telling me what saved is. And I'm done with this world playing stupid and telling, oh, if you was really a Christian, you would... I'm done with that junk, y'all. We can't buy into that anymore. We can't let that leverage be used over us anymore. Verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." There we go again. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, wait a minute, God. I'm pretty sure I said the prayer. It's not going to matter in that day. Well, I'm going to file a lawsuit. This is discrimination. Well, I got some bad news for you because that court don't exist anymore. This is a white throne. This ain't about the nine wise souls that are in Washington, D.C. that have turned out to be not so wise. And they may have told you that something's all right, but just because they said something's all right don't mean it's all right. Not with God. Because they're not trying to get people ready for heaven. The Word of God's trying to get people ready for heaven. Trying to get people ready for an eternity with Him. And I don't care if the Supreme Court says it's all right for you to have a same-sex marriage. That don't mean it's okay with God. The Supreme Court may have ended prohibition, but that don't mean God acknowledges you being okay to be a drunk now. That don't mean that God said it's, you know, they may legalize marijuana and cocaine, you know, pretty soon, but that don't mean it's okay for you to be intoxicated because the Word of God teaches sobriety. The Supreme Court can say it's okay for you to abort your unborn children, but that don't mean it's right with God. Just because the Supreme Court says something don't mean you're going to have a leg to stand on if you're going to try to defend your life and defend your choices in front of Almighty God from what a court says that does not exist in that day. Your lawsuit won't go very far. They won't be judging you that day. They won't be judging you that day. Their amoral laws will not be judging you that day. We better be careful what we think is okay just because somebody in our society says it's okay, because this society is far from God, folks. I got to be honest with you. I don't think God cares where I pee. I don't think that's a salvation issue, whether I pee in this toilet in this restroom or in that toilet in this restroom. But the things that are going on in our society right now are absolutely a sign of the times that we're in. And I'm not talking about a sign of end times. I'm just talking about a sign of a degraded society that has lost its purpose, has lost its identity, and has come far from God. It's a rough world we're living in these days, folks. It's a rough world that we're living in. We've got debates going on in our society that have just got to bring tears to the eyes of the Lord. It's just hideous where we are now. And again, I'm not saying those things that we're debating so strongly right now are a sign of end times. But they're definitely signs of the world that we're living in. And how crazy it's getting. And how evil it's getting. John 12:48 says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So it ain't going to matter if you got your excuse. It's not going to matter that day that, oh, the preacher told me this or preacher told me that. That's not what's going to matter that day. The word that he's spoken, that's what's going to judge us that day. Are we lined up to his word? Over and over he's told us, "He that doeth the word." He that does what I'm telling them to do. We've actually got to do it. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to know where it is in the Bible. It's not enough to be able to quote it. You got to do it according to the Scripture. You got to do it. 24 through 27 says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," and what? "Does them." Whoever doeth them. Says, "I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended." Anybody been getting rained on? "And the floods came." Anybody been feeling like a flood's coming? "And the winds blew and beat upon the house. But it fell not." It fell not. Why did it not fall? "For it was founded upon a rock." It's founded upon a rock. Not modern philosophy. You say, "Well, this old body feels like it's getting torn down." I'm not concerned about your body. Concerned about your soul. You say, "Well, this old structure we built here has been getting pounded on by the rain, and there's some things that are wobbly going on in it." I'm not talking about your physical edifice that you've got going on this world. I'm talking about what you're going to take into eternity with you. And the storms come. And Lord, we get storms, don't we? when we got children and loved ones that are looking us in the face and saying, I'm choosing to turn my back on God. I'm choosing to turn my back on His truth. And it's okay for me to live any way I want to live, and God don't mind. Storms are coming and hitting, right? I've been there. Got people that know better, should know better, been taught better, choosing things that they shouldn't be choosing. And you sit and watch it. And how someone can go so far from God and still say, God doesn't care, God doesn't mind, God don't care how I'm living, because the whosoever will's been changed to howsoever I want. Bought into lies, bought into deception. The storms come and hit us. The storms rock us, the rain comes in. But he said, but that house didn't fall. You know why? Because whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken to him a wise man built his house upon a rock. Founded upon a rock. Verses 26, 27. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, excuse me, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, not enough to hear it. It's not enough just to hear it. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man. Oh, don't call me names, preacher. Oh, okay. I'll just say this. If you hear the word of God and don't do it, you're a fool. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, but I can tell you this much, the fool says a lot more than that. I've heard fools say an awful lot of stuff in this life. And he says, you hear it, don't do it, you're like a foolish man. Everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The sand. Sand is a sorry thing to build on. It's a sorry thing to build on. And what's right today in our society that was wrong 20 years ago, and what's going to be wrong in our society in 15 years that's right today, and what's right in 15 years that's wrong today, I'm telling you, sand is a sorry thing to build on. It's going to shift around. In my lifetime, it's been okay to eat bacon. It's been not okay to eat bacon, and it's come back to where it's okay again to eat bacon. In my lifetime, I don't feel like I'm that old. Sometimes I feel like I'm that old. In my life, it's been okay to eat buttered biscuits. It's been not okay to eat buttered biscuits. In my life, it's been a food pyramid. It turned into a food plate. By the looks of society, I'm thinking it's not really working for anybody. Something's going on, but something will change in a few years. And something else will be out of fashion, and something else will be out of style. Sand is a sorry thing to build on. Wind comes along and moves the foundation. Rain comes along and moves the foundation. And all of a sudden, the thing that you're trying to build ain't on nothing solid. And you're going to and fro. You're being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Not mature. Not strong. Not solid. Why is that? Because you ain't building on a rock. How do you build on a rock? You hear the word, you do it. You hear the word, you do it. You say, that's what the word says. Well, I'm going to do that then. You hear the word. That don't mean you don't face temptation. It doesn't mean you don't face temptation. It don't mean you don't get sexually excited by somebody other than your spouse. But it does mean that you act responsible and you take on the Word of God into your heart and you say, I'm making some commitments and I'm not going to get caught up in adultery or fornication or extramarital sex and something that I don't need to be involved in or in a same-sex relationship. You have some standards in your life. You say, that's what the Word of God expects of me, and that's what I'm going to line up to, because if I just go after what I want in my life, I'm going to end up in destruction. If I just go after what this world tells me is okay, I'm building on sand. If I just go after what's politically acceptable in this society today, I'm building on something that will not last and will not be there for me to point my finger at when I stand before God. Amen. Don't mean you don't have temptations. It don't mean you don't have struggles. It don't mean for the person that's trying to walk away from those things that they don't want to go get drunk. It don't mean that they don't want to go do those things again. It means I don't do those things. I hear the Word and I do it. The Word of God tells me to be faithful. The Word of God tells me to be sober. The Word of God will tell me how I need to live my life, because one day I was a whosoever will, and I said, I want to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, you got to walk away from some of that junk, son. You don't need to be giving yourself to alcohol and dope. You don't need to be giving yourself to pornography and promiscuity. And I walked away from it. Because that's where I wanted to live. That's not where he wanted me to live. So I had to take up my roots. And I had to walk away from my life. I had to deny myself and follow him. And I don't want to be just me. Because just me puts me on a broad and wide way, doing whatever I want, whatever feels right in the moment. I need to be on the straight and narrow to be right with God. He said to every man, everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended. I read about rain before. Oh, it was in verse 25. And the floods came. I've read about floods before. Oh, it was in verse 25. And the winds blew. I read about that before in 25. And it beat upon the house. I read about that in 25. And it fell. I didn't read about that in 25. 25 said all those things happened up there too. But the one that was built on the rock, still standing. The one that's built on the rock in that day, I'm going to be making excuses before God saying, in your name, didn't we do many wonderful works? He's just going to be saying, come on in. Well done. A good and faithful servant. Ain't going to be no talk of political justification or the fact that I built on the sands that were okay in the day that I lived. Just come on in. Well done. Good and faithful service. Again, you're not going to be surprised if you end up in heaven. A good number of us might be surprised that we don't. Scripture. Don't let that offend you. I'm just talking Bible. That's Bible. Lord, didn't I do things in your name? Didn't I do a lot of good works in your name? Never knew you. Never knew you. So what's the difference between the one that's wise and the one that's foolish? The one that's wise is building on a rock. They hear the word, they do the word. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to quote it. It's not enough to give chapter and verse on it. Sit and play Bible trivia with my mom. She kicks my tail at it. Every time we've ever played, it's just amazing. But that ain't enough. It ain't enough to be able to quote it. Devil knows the Bible, son. Devil knows the Bible, son. Don't put him in right standing with God. We've got to do it. Got to do it. Hear it and do it. Hear it and do it. Getting ready to close this morning reading out of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, reading from verse 42 to 44. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. That is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to nations, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. Going back to where we were at a little while ago. It says, if you're going to try to save your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. You're going to try to defend your position, you're going to lose it. You're going to try to look into the Word of God and twist the Word of God to justify how you want to live a perverse life. You're going to lose it, child. You're going to lose it. He said, but if you're willing, and you want to follow me, you can deny yourself. You can deny yourself. You can come follow after me. You can lay down your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, and you'll save it. You'll save it. Whosoever will is absolutely correct in the Word of God, folks. But don't you believe for a minute. Don't you buy into false doctrine for a minute. That's however you want to do it, because it is not. God has expectations on His people, on how He wants us to live in order to please Him. And if you're struggling with something, struggle with it. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Justify it. If you've got thoughts running through your mind that you struggle with them. Don't give in to them. Because it's not just about hearing it. It's about doing it. We got to make sure we're doing the Word. Don't buy into this stuff that there ain't no sin in this world anymore. Because if there's no sin, you don't need a Savior. There is sin. It abounds. False doctrine abounds. We still need a Savior. We still need to be on the straight and narrow. Amen. God bless you. Stand together as we dismiss in a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Father, I ask that You would help us be strong in the face of all the stupidity that we face in this world. I ask that You would help us to be strong in the face of all the false doctrine and lies and falsehoods and twisted Scripture that is thrown at us in this world today. Help us to take Your Word and hear it and do it so that we can be founded on the rock like You're talking about, Lord. Because it's clear we're in the storms. It's clear we've got that going on. Lord, I don't want to be founded on sand. I don't want to be basing my eternal salvation on something that's hot philosophy of the day. Help me get back to Your Word. Help me to easily recognize Your false prophets, the false prophets that are in this world, Lord, that are twisting Your Word and leading people to hell. You said I'll recognize them, Lord. Help me do so. Help me be familiar with Your Word so that I'm not led astray. Help me to be strong in this hour that we were in. Help me to be bold. Help me to stop worrying about this world defining my Christianity and my relationship with You, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are struggling, that have been caught up in false doctrine, that have been lied to and told that however they want to live is okay, Lord, that they would come to themselves. That You would allow them to find a place of repentance that they can make things right with You. So they can find the water baptism in Jesus' name and make things right with You, Lord. And they would not take Your name in vain. They wouldn't take on Your name and then just continue to live the life that they want to live, Lord, but they'd be willing to change some things in their life. Willing to walk away from who they are. Willing to deny themselves so that they can save their own life, Lord. Help me to do the same. Help me never get so entrenched in my life or in my position that I'm not willing to follow You where You're taking me, Lord. Open up my heart and my mind, Jesus. Give us strength, Lord, as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.